So once again, I realize I've bitten off more than I can chew. Power of forgiveness in 30 minutes. I could probably spend about at least three talks, maybe a whole retreat on this. But to set the context, I want to first remind us that we're human beings in a human body, living a human life with other human beings, right? And on this relative realm, we have these egoic minds, we have these bodies, these feelings that we have to work with, right? And then when we meditate and we follow a spiritual path, we realize, well, there's this absolute realm, this realm of complete connection and love, and we realize that this is our source, this Buddha nature, that's who we are, right? And that's why we're practicing, why we have a spiritual path, so we can tap in to this absolute realm, to re-embrace it, to bring it back into our experience as part of who we are. We're not just the relative, egoic, fear-based, desiring, aversive animal. We're all of it. But in order for us to experience the absolute realm, to be able to tap into it more often, we have to be able to deal with the egoic realm, the relative realm, the egoic mind, and what's arising for us skillfully. And when we deal with these things skillfully, and we heal the harms and the hurts that arise with us, then we're able to tap back into the absolute realm. So there's this like a heartbeat from the relative to the absolute, back to the relative to the absolute. When we're able to flow with whatever is our present experience, and that's been my experience of who we really are. And thank God for this practice, because it's helped me to realize that. And forgiveness has been a very important part of my practice and my path. And a skill that we need to learn in order to be able to flow between these two realms. Because life as a human being can be rather difficult. Anybody experienced that before? Maybe once? Today? Right? Life can be difficult. And it's hard to navigate our relationships with different people, especially when we have different hurts and scars that are rubbing against each other, right? And a lot of times you'll hear me talk about when we act unskillfully, we're acting out of greed, which is the wanting mind, you know, the desiring, or we're acting out of hatred or anger or aversion, that second one, or we're acting out of delusion, which is the confusion. We've forgotten who we really are. We're disconnected from our source. We're lost in some way when we're confused. So as human beings, we get confused and we forget. And we act out sometimes unskillfully, and we may harm others. And then sometimes, unfortunately, we're on the receiving end of other people's confusion. Right? So then how do we navigate this? This harm being caused to and from. Tibetan Buddhist teacher Pema Chodron, I love this quote that she said, you know, when we get hurt by others, I'll tell you her quote in a minute, but when we feel hurt by others and we don't deal with it and we decide to sweep it under the rug and say, I'm a spiritual person, I'm greater than this, I'm going to sweep it under the rug and just pretend like it didn't happen. Do you think that's helpful? No, right? Because somewhere in our subconscious, somewhere in our underneath the surface, we still have that hurt if it's not been processed, if we haven't looked at it, if we haven't felt it. Like we were doing in our bodies today, we were feeling into the sensations of hurt. If we choose not to do that and we try to spiritually bypass, then that'll cause a lot of unconscious passive-aggressive resentment, and perhaps we'll hold on to grudges for a long time. So we have to really be able to heal these hurts with our practice. But Pema Chodron said that holding on to a grudge is like eating rat poison, thinking that the rat will die. Right? So let's talk about what forgiveness is in Buddhist terms. Tenasaro Bhikkhu is a Buddhist monk. He says that the Pali word for forgiveness is kama, K-H-A-M-A, not karma, but kama. It also stands for the word the earth, because the earth is non-reactive and it's unperturbed. So he's saying that when we forgive someone, we choose not to retaliate. We choose not to seek revenge. You don't have to like me. We don't have to like the person. But we simply unburden ourselves of resentment. And we free ourselves from the cycle of retribution, which is that samsaric circle of that we get caught in. Anybody ever felt like they're caught in a circle in relationship with harming and then being harmed and then harming and being harmed? Yeah. So that's what forgiveness is about. It's stopping that war, the looping war. But forgiveness also implies that there's some hurt or harm that's happened in the past, right, that we want to heal. So when we forgive someone, we're actually freeing ourselves from the past, and we're bringing ourselves into the present moment, which is... A Course in Miracles describes forgiveness as giving up all hope for a better past. I really like that. And I hear they say that a lot in 12-step programs. But what does forgive, what does, when we've been harmed and we haven't fully forgiven yet, what kind of sensations do we feel in our body? Just yell out a word or two.
Agitation.
Agitation,
anger,
pressure,
resentment,
what else?
Revenge.
Desire for revenge. Was that good? What else? Physical sensations too?
Tightness in my chest.
The chest tightens up and contracts. There might be heat, right? So a lot of stuff. I think it's really important for us to develop that ability to be with these sensations, these physical and emotional sensations. And it takes a lot of self-honesty to be able to sit with these things, because the spiritual being will arise. Maybe yours doesn't do this, but it might arise and go, oh, you should not be feeling this way. Anybody have that spiritual being? You're a spiritual person. You shouldn't be angry. Right? Just thank the spiritual being for sharing. Thank you very much. I'm going to feel these sensations. Anger is present. That's our practice. What is present right now? That's the truth. That's how we heal, by coming to what's true at this moment. Not by saying, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this, I'm just going to be a spiritual person. And then hopefully, once we're able to process whatever's arising in our experience, then we can forgive. We're unburdening ourselves, right? We don't necessarily have to let someone else off the hook. We need to heal and let ourselves off the hook by feeling what's here to be felt, what needs to be processed. Because it's been my experience that 9 out of 10 times, I'm just making up stuff now, by the way, but in my experience, most of the time, I'm really angry and frustrated with someone, one particular person, for the way that they've acted unskillfully, but I'm heaping onto them all the other unforgiven things that I haven't been willing to look at yet. So this one person is getting the, you know what I'm saying? So every time something arises, then it's an opportunity for me to really be honest and heal this. And see, what is it of mine that needs to be healed? And what is it of theirs, their responsibility as well? So I think I've said this to you before. I was raised in a household that played the blame game. You know, whenever something went wrong, they had to find out who there was to blame. Anyone else been raised in my family? Right, someone had to be blamed and had to get in trouble. And then we had to be the victims. Whoever was the harmed one had to be the big victims. And then there was a drama, you know, where the blaming and the victim and the really ugly hurt and drama had to happen. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what I realized is this when I started doing this practice was that I had become addicted to being a victim. So whenever anybody did something that I felt harmed me, I would start to automatically, like Pavlovian dog, go into this victim mode, the he done me wrong or she done me wrong song. You know what I'm talking about? So I had to really look at myself and see where I was addicted to drama, addicted to being the victim, and see what my part was in that. And I'm not saying that you're addicted to the same thing, but I'd be pretty surprised if there's not some of that going on with most of us, because we live in a society that conditions that. Turn on the news. Watch a movie. Right? It's a big underlying story that we human beings have. And for good reason, because there's a lot of harm being caused. So we might have to let go of some habits that we have of gossiping and making a big deal out of things and turning other people against the bad person. Letting go of our story, our victim story. There's a lot to it. And taking responsibility for our part. I'm going to tell you a story. It's not on my list, but a few months ago, I'm a fourth degree black belt instructor in traditional Taekwondo. I used to teach at UNCA Taekwondo a lot, and I had my own studio with a previous partner. And one day, someone laid a stink bomb on my Facebook page. Some of you may have heard this story before, but this fellow that I don't know put a bunch of anti-Muslim, anti-Arab, really vile things on my page because that's my family. You know, that's my heritage originally, Muslim, Palestinian. And then a friend of mine that I used to teach, he has his own studio, called me, and he's apologizing profusely. I'm so sorry, this is one of my students who put this on your Facebook page. He's taking it down. I've asked him to take it down. He's blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, thank you. But I had all this, you know, strong feelings arising, right? And then he asked me to come judge and be on his judging panel that next weekend at his Taekwondo testing, where this guy was going to be testing. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to be there. This guy's going down. But anyhow, so I was looking at my intention, because it's really important to look at, don't we talk about that a lot? Look at your intention. If it's wholesome, act it out. If it's unwholesome, don't. Right? And I was like, this is really unwholesome intention. I really want to go there and harm this guy in some way. And then I met my brother, who's also a fourth degree black belt. The next day we were practicing, and he said, yeah, we're going to be being judges for this guy who laid the stink bomb on your Facebook page, because he saw what had happened. And I said, yeah. But I talked to my brother as the week went on towards Saturday. I realized I did not want to go there with the ill intention of causing harm. So I kept doing forgiveness practices for whatever ways you've harmed me with your own confusion, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive you. So I kept practicing forgiveness all that week. And I have to say that by the time I wasn't going to go unless I could be in a place of love, somewhat, for this guy. right? And I talked to my brother about, well, let's just go from a place of love and understanding and knowing that this man is probably confused, right? So he said, that's a great idea, sis, let's do that. So we went, and this guy was so nervous. And he knew who I was, and he knew my brother, who we were, and he knew what he had done. And he was shaking, and he kept messing up, and, you know, we kept saying, okay, why don't you start again, take a few deep breaths. And then my brother ran out there, and he was helping him, and, you know, so I felt so much compassion for him, you know, a lot of love. So that's what this practice can do, you know, this forgiveness practice. And if I didn't feel like I could have gone there with an open, loving heart, I would not have gone to that testing, because that would have been pretty unskillful for me. Sharon Salzberg says that forgiveness does not mean condoning a harmful action or denying injustice or suffering. It should never be confused with passive passivity towards a violation or abuse. Right? So it doesn't mean that we stand in there and allow people to continue to do harm to us and to make it okay. We have to stand up against abuse or harm when we feel that it's happening, if we feel called to stand up against it. But can we do that from a place of compassion? From a place of understanding that this person is so bereft, so disconnected from their own source, is in so much internal suffering and pain. Because we're either acting out our suffering and our pain, or we're acting out of our love and compassion. Right? So when people are acting out even the most vile behavior, they're acting out their own suffering, their own internal pain. It's a hard place to get to. Forgiveness doesn't happen overnight. Have you noticed that? You can set your intention to forgive someone. I got out of a previous very harmful business and personal relationship. And I was like, okay, I'm going to forgive this person. I'm going to forgive this person. And I was doing forgiveness practices every day. And then every time I thought about this person, I'd feel all this, you know, hurt and anger arising. And I'm like, why is this still happening? I've been forgiving him for a year now, and I'm still, right? So forgiveness happens in its own time when it's ready to happen. And we can't force it. Anybody notice that? But just having the intention to forgive is very powerful. And keep doing the practice. Eventually the heart will be healed and it'll let go when it's ready. So that's if anyone, you know, like we did in the practice today, you bring someone up to your mind, your heart. If you feel all the sensations in your body, you open up to them, you allow yourself to explore them, to hold yourself with kindness, and then you say, for ways that you harmed me, I forgive you to the best of my ability. Right? So you may want to add that onto your daily meditation practice if you're holding on to a grudge or some negative stuff towards somebody. This is in the Anguttara Nikaya. This is what the Buddha said. These two are wise. Which two? The one who sees his or her own transgression as a transgression. And the one who rightfully pardons another who has confessed his or her transgression. I love that quote. Because what it's saying is that we need to mindfully be able to honestly look at our own behavior and know when we're causing a transgression, when we're acting, you know, that maybe there was a little passive-aggressive in that statement or whatever we did. And then being able to apologize or own up to our transgressions, and then forgiving someone who owns up to theirs, to us, to the best of our ability. But I think that one of the hardest things to do for most people that I meet with is not forgiving others as much as forgiving ourselves, right? A lot of people have a really hard time with forgiving themselves for ways that they've either harmed themselves or harmed others. So, you know, and I think a lot of spiritual practices or beliefs tend to focus on, you know, forgiving others for hurting us, but I think it's really important that we learn to break these karmic patterns of being really hard on ourselves, or breaking karmic patterns of causing harm to other people. These are, you know, if this has been something that's been going on our whole life, this is a deep karmic pattern. And those are the hardest to work with. They're deeply ingrained. They've got deep roots. So here's a six-fold process that I've come up with for breaking unwholesome karmic habit of causing harm, either to ourselves or others. Right? The first is recognizing and acknowledging that harm has been caused. Right? So if we're sitting there beating ourselves up, feeling badly about something that we've done, once again, recognize, oh, there's a little harm being caused here. I'm going to recognize this harm. The second step to changing this cycle is to, this is what the Buddha taught, to feel hiri, which is moral shame, or atapa, which is moral dread, regret. So the Buddha was saying that these are wholesome qualities to feel because they help us to break these karmic patterns of wrongdoing, the moral transgressions of causing harm. If we can feel moral shame, like regret for what we've done, oh, okay, I regret that I keep beating myself up or that I keep harming this other person. And then we dread causing harm to ourselves or others, we'll be more apt to stop doing it. Right? Not from a place of beating ourselves up once again or more, but from a place of, okay, this will motivate me to shift this habit. The third thing is to look honestly at the situation with as much mindful awareness as possible, to look clearly at the sensations in the body like we've been doing, to look at our intention like I did with the Taekwondo fellow, and just notice if it's a part of a bigger pattern. Like, oh, does this seem familiar? This pattern? Is this something that I do often? Anybody ever feel like they've been stuck in a pattern? Different person, different place, but kind of the same scenario? Right? This is a neurotic, deeply karmic pattern. So be able to look at that honestly and feel all the sensations related to it mindfully. The fourth step is to do something to reinforce a wholesome pattern rather than this negative pattern, right? Perhaps to the one most important thing to do is to not act out the habit energy, to not do the same thing that we typically would do, but do something else that would help break that. Like, instead of going to the Taekwondo testing to scare this guy, I decided to go with love in my heart. The fifth step is to make the commitment to vow to break the cycle. You're seeing the cycle clearly, you're opening to it, you're feeling the sensations in your body, you're seeing the pattern repeat itself, and now you're vowing to break this unwholesome pattern, this neurotic pattern, and you're vowing to move from to love and compassion rather than anger or judgment. One thing that they did when I was a nun is if you broke any of the precepts or if you caused somebody else harm in some way, we're supposed to go to one of our superiors and admit our wrong. Sounds kind of Catholic, doesn't it? I'm not a Catholic, I've heard. But it's not from a place of beating myself up, I'm going to admit that I did wrong. But it's, you know, it's more of a, hey, I did something that was really unskillful today, and I want to tell you about it. So that if I can say it out loud and admit it, then I'll be less apt to repeat it. That's part of the whole vow to breaking that cycle. And the sixth one is to bring compassion and kind, loving awareness to ourselves. You know, let ourselves off the hook, knowing that we are a product of our conditioning, we're a product of being a human being on this planet. We're doing the best that we can given everything that we have that's arising at this moment. And to really bring kindness to ourselves. It's so important to break, especially to break that cycle of self-beat-up, right? It's like every time you see yourself being hard on yourself, say, okay, I'm going to bring kindness instead. I'm going to bring kindness. It doesn't mean I'm going to let myself off the hook for unskillful behavior. I'm vowing to change that, to break that habit. But it means that I'm going to be kind to myself because I really am struggling with this pattern. And it's painful. It's not easy. So this sixfold process is helping us to get out of the past and into the present with what is. So I would say that it's very helpful. At least it's been helpful for me. And it's important that we take responsibility for our actions without beating ourselves up. Does that make sense? Yeah. The moral regret doesn't mean that we need to start beating ourselves up. And the more that we resolve these burdens, these negative patterns, these energies, these grudges, and we're able to let them go, it frees our energy up for not only for our practice, but for wholesome joy and love and excitement and practice, right, to flow through us and to allow ourselves to drop back into the absolute realm, into our natural Buddha nature state, right? Those are the fruits of our practice. The peace of mind, to not feeling guilt, right? And the way we do it is, if you want to add forgiveness to your practice, it's very simple. Just any ways that someone's harmed us or we've harmed others, asking for forgiveness, or I forgive you. I like to do forgiveness practices before I go to sleep at night sometimes. If I'm feeling that I've done something really unskillful or someone has harmed me, I like to do a little forgiveness in bed before I go to sleep, because it helps free my mind, free my heart, so I can let it go and go to sleep. So that's, I found it helpful. It might be helpful for you. And here's a Paradoxical Commandments by Kent Keith. He says, people are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you're successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs but follow only top dogs. Fight for a few underdogs anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help but may attack you if you do help them. Help them anyway. Give the world the best you have and you'll be kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. So that's just a little bit of what came to my mind during this process of forgiveness. There's so much more. So we'll open it up during the discussion in a moment. But thank you so much for your listening, and especially for your practice.